Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teachings that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of the elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourselves wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life with doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Crystal. So I found myself asking several people this week, you got any big plans for the new year? Because this is a season in which we emphasize new beginnings, right? You get to turn over a new leaf. You get a clean slate. You get to start over. How many of you have a resolution for the new year? Not many of you raised your hands, which means one of two things. One, you're not awake yet. Or two, you don't have one. Which, that is not so hard to believe, that you wouldn't have a New Year's resolution. I think I'm a firm believer that if you want to start a new thing or change something in your life, you don't have to wait till New Year's to do that. But I think another reason why we're increasingly getting away from New Year's resolutions is because we know what will happen, right? I read somewhere that 91% of New Year's resolutions fail. Now, that's a high number. But why? Why is that? Why is it so hard to achieve a New Year's resolution? And here's what I think happens to the majority of us. A few possible explanations, actually. One thing that happens to us is we jump in without creating any sort of plan, right? A plan that is specific, has a timeline, something that will help you measure your progress. Or we try to go at it alone. We don't establish any kind of accountability, which we all need, whether we want to admit that or not. We don't cover our efforts in prayer. We don't ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance. We just kind of pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and walk right into the battlefield. Another thing that happens is we allow our schedules to dictate us rather than us dictate our schedules. So we say on December 31st, okay, starting tomorrow, I'm going to get outside and walk 30 minutes a day. But then January 1st comes and life happens. You open the curtains and there's frost on the ground and it's 15 degrees outside and you're like, let's wait and see what tomorrow's weather brings. And that's another reason I think it's harder for us to start a new thing at New Year's. It's cold outside. You know, the sun's not out very much. It's still getting dark before 6 p.m. You know, some of us struggle with seasonal affect depression. And so it's hard to stay enthusiastic about starting a new thing. Perhaps if New Year's happened in June, we might be a little more successful, right? Maybe your friend calls the next day and says, let's go to lunch. So then your day becomes about that. And then the next day you have appointments, and the next day you wake up with bronchitis. And before you know it, it's Easter. And you say, I'll try again next New Year's. Maybe it's that you've had unhealthy habits for so long that you've sort of become comfortable with them. You know, some of your adult habits started developing in childhood. Perhaps your habits started as survival tactics from a trauma you endured in the past. Your unhealthy habits, they didn't happen overnight. It was a gradual decline, which means you're not going to get rid of them overnight. But they've become so ingrained in us that we've either resigned to the habit as part of the formation of who we are, or we've just decided it's easier to live with it than to change it. I think another thing that happens with us is we get overwhelmed by the laundry list of things we want to change or things we know need to change. When you ask yourself, what would you like to change in your life? You know, for me, it's not just one thing. It's a lot of things. You know, I'd like to get better sleep. I'd love to be in the best shape of my life. I'd love to stop obsessing over things I cannot control. I want to set healthier boundaries, you know, without feeling guilty about it. I want to do more meal prepping so that I spend less money at restaurants and I make better food choices. I want to be completely debt-free. I want to read more. I want to spend more quality time with my family. I want to make time for the things that bring me joy. That's a long list, right? And I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure you all have a list of things you would like to accomplish, things you would like to see different in your life. But when you sit back and you look at that list, it feels more like a mountain than anything else. And you have an enemy that loves to tell you, you won't. He loves to plant seeds saying, you're never going to change. And another thing that happens with us is we don't schedule first the things that matter the most. And I think that's the crux of the issue for all of us, because what most of us, if not all of us, need, it's not just a resolution. It is something bigger than that. It's bigger than a diet or fitness plan. It's bigger than a house-wide purge. It's bigger than a budget or a self-care regimen. What most of us really need, and yet we're afraid to attempt to pursue it, is a lifestyle change. We need transformation. We need to be changed from the inside out. We need to become healthy. And that should be everyone's goal. And when we hear the word healthy, our culture tends to automatically zoom in on diet and exercise. I don't know how many times I've said to people, I just want to get healthy. I want to feel healthy. And they'll say to me, you don't need to lose weight. What? No. You know, being healthy is about so much more than just how we treat our bodies, though that is part of it, right? Being healthy also means how we treat other people. It means how we manage our time and our money and our talents. You know, being healthy means breaking free from addictions and removing negative stimuli from our lives. It means setting healthy boundaries with our devices, with difficult people. Being healthy means getting adequate rest and making time for self-care and allowing yourself the space to actually listen to your body and the creator of your body. It means setting sacred rhythms in our daily lives and not going 90 miles an hour all the time. Because let's face it, we are tired. aren't we? We are so tired. We are mentally and emotionally drained. We ache all over. You know, brain fog is a real thing. We struggle with time management and finances and priorities. We consume a lot of things we shouldn't, and I am not just talking about processed food and controlled substances. I'm also talking about things like gossip and negativity and graphic, violent content. We suffer from illnesses and diseases, many of which, not all, but many of which can be prevented or reversed by making some sustainable changes in our lives. Now, out of that whole list of symptoms I just rattled off, is there anyone in this room that can tell me I don't identify with any of those? I didn't think so. And listen, if anyone were to say that, I'm here to tell you they do have a problem. It's called denial. Now, I believe we all have within us this desire to change for the reasons I just listed, right? We're tired of being tired. We're tired of feeling blah. We're tired of living paycheck to paycheck. We're tired of the negativity we hear day in and day out. We're tired of the way our clothes fit. We're tired of feeling like we're in a cloud all the time. And somewhere deep down, we want to change that. The biggest obstacle we face is how we get there and what might it take for us to get there, because we want it right now. We want instant gratification. We don't want to have to make any sacrifices or challenge ourselves. We don't want discomfort. Fitness enthusiasts will say, no pain, no gain, and we loathe them for saying that. Because who in their right mind goes and spends an hour in the gym, wakes up the next morning hurting from head to toe, and says, this is awesome? We make excuses not to do the hard things. But then nothing changes, and so we stay stuck. How do we get unstuck? How do we break the barriers so that we become our best selves? And when I say our best selves, you know, when I came up with the title for the sermon series, it was a little tongue-in-cheek, because it's not really about becoming a better version of ourselves. What this is really about is becoming our utmost for His highest. How do we do it? Perhaps the short answer here is that we have to develop new habits, new and positive habits, to replace the old self-defeating habits and patterns and behaviors. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes about putting off our old self and putting on our new self. And you might think that's a lot easier said than done, and you are absolutely right. Where do we begin? Rick Warren wrote a book called The Daniel Plan, and it's a comprehensive scripture-based plan, also backed by doctors and scientists, about how we achieve real lasting change and transformation in our lives. And he lists elements for lasting change, and the number one element is you have to build your life on the truth. Jesus said, if you continue to obey my teachings, you are truly my followers, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you're going to train for other areas in your life, the things you want to see changed in your life, you have to train first for the things that matter the most. You have to build your foundation. When you think about building a house, you know, the foundation, that is your faith, your relationship with God, your interaction with the scriptures. Your walls and your roof are the other facets of your life and your health, your relationships, your mental health, your physical and emotional health. And all these areas are essential, and they're interconnected, right? Like, if your relationships are suffering, that's going to affect the other areas of your health. You're going to probably struggle in your faith. Your emotions are going to be strained. And the stress of that is going to create some somatic symptoms in your body. It's all relative. But if your foundation is not sturdy and stable enough because you've spent most of your time focusing on the walls and the roof instead, then what's going to happen? Right? The house is going to become disjointed. It's going to crumble. It might eventually collapse. You have to know the truth and really know it. And the problem is, what do we say about the truth? Well, it will set you free, but first we say the truth hurts, right? And we don't like to hurt. We avoid it. And the truth has a way of confronting us and convicting us, peeling back the layers to show who we really are versus how we portray ourselves to everyone else. It forces us to face the reality that there are areas of our lives that are broken and they need to be changed. But we like comfort. We like what is easy. And so we try to skip over that part and we go straight to the quick fixes, the pill, the powder, the book that's titled Change Your Life in 3 Easy Steps. Ha! There is no such thing. So Paul is writing to Timothy, a young pastor who is running up against some significant challenges in his life and ministry. You know, false teachers leading followers astray was just one of them. And at this point in his ministry, you know, he's probably feeling inadequate, intimidated, exhausted. He's probably questioning his call. He knows something needs to change, but probably feeling a little lost as to how to make that happen. And what Paul tells Timothy is not, you need to try harder. He says, you need to train differently. He says, train yourself in godliness. The word train, this is the word we get gymnasium from. So Paul doesn't dismiss physical training. In fact, he affirms it. He says in verse 8, for physical training is of some value. But he immediately reframes the conversation by saying, but godliness has value for all things, not just the physical, but the emotional and relational and spiritual, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. In other words, there is a kind of training that shapes not just your body, but your soul. Not just your habits, but your heart. Not just this life, but eternity. He's saying approach your spiritual life with the same intentionality you bring to your physical life. You know, you don't just suddenly become strong. You don't develop endurance overnight. You have to work at it. And in the same way, when it comes to your spirituality, you don't accidentally become patient. You don't drift into compassion. You don't stumble into Christ-likeness. Developing those character qualities require a daily choice, intentionality. You have to train for it. You train not so the outside looks great. It's so you become fit for the work of God's kingdom. Notice how Paul connects personal formation with public impact. He says, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. He says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. He says, do not neglect your gift. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Friends, this is what whole life fitness looks like. It is training for what matters the most. A steadier spirit, a steadfast love, a life shaped by truth, a person ready to be used by God. Because the goal isn't just personal improvement. The goal is kingdom readiness. Paul says godliness has value for all things. It touches every area of life. Your spiritual health, are you rooted in God's word and prayer? Your emotional health, are you learning to process pain and forgiveness and healing? Relational health. Are your relationships marked by love? Agape love. Mental health. Are your thoughts being renewed by Christ? Missional health. Are you living on purpose for something bigger than yourself? Training for what matters most means asking the right questions. Not just, am I getting into shape, but am I becoming fit for the work of the kingdom? Not just, is my body strong, but is my faith resilient? And not just, do I feel better, but am I becoming a blessing to all those I interact with? And Paul's promise is bold. This is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God. Not to make much of ourselves. This kind of training is hard, and to be sure, it is slow. That is why they say in recovery ministry, one day at a time. You didn't develop old habits, complacency, negative thoughts overnight, and you won't get rid of them overnight. But if you train first for the things that matter most, that training is never wasted. Every prayer you whisper, every scripture you soak in, every time you choose forgiveness over bitterness, every act of obedience when it is easier to quit, you are training and you are becoming. And Paul ends with this encouragement: be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Notice he doesn't say perfection, he says progress. Becoming your best self is not about instant transformation, as much as we would like for it to be. It is about faithful training. So whatever your aspirations are for this new year, I want to encourage us all to begin a journey together, training first for what matters most and not just what looks good on the surface. Let's ditch the fad diets, the superficial quick fixes for hard habits, the self-help hype, and let's pursue together a deeper kind of transformation. We're going to spend the next few weeks exploring all areas of health: spiritual, emotional, physical, relational, mental. We're going to talk about detoxing bitterness and unforgiveness, and learning how to renew our minds, and discovering why community and accountability are essential for real growth. We're going to develop sacred rhythms that sustain faith, relationships, and purpose for the long haul. This isn't about becoming a better version of yourself by sheer willpower. It is about allowing God to reshape your life from the inside out, to love deeper, to serve stronger, to stand firmer, and to become healthy and ready for the ministry of God's kingdom. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for calling us into a life that is more than survival, more than self-improvement. You call us into a life of transformation. You invite us to become people shaped by your love, formed by your truth, and ready for your purposes. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways we have settled for shallow growth, for focusing on outward change while neglecting the condition of our hearts, for training our bodies and schedules while leaving our souls unattended. Teach us, Lord, to train for what truly matters. Give us holy discipline, not driven by guilt, but shaped by your grace. Form in us habits that draw us closer to you, a hunger for your word, a deeper life of prayer, a spirit that forgives, a heart that loves, and a faith that endures. Strengthen us to become healthy in every way, spiritually, emotionally, relationally and mentally, so that our lives might be ready for your work. And when we are weary, Lord, renew us. When we are stuck, move us. Where we have grown complacent, awaken us. And where we feel inadequate, remind us that you are the one who works within us. We place our hope in you, the living God, and we offer ourselves again to be shaped, trained, and sent for what matters most. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.